Today is Thursday, April 16th, 2020, and my name is Adam. Hello, everyone, and welcome to Geeky Gay. This is the show where I talk about my life 5 days a week, and you listen. And today is no different. Oh, my goodness. So I'm recording a little early again, but the reason is we have a house that we're going to see that we like, and if we want it, we have to make an offer on it immediately, because there are already two other offers on this house, because houses are going like hotcakes where I live. And literally the day they get put on the market, they're getting offers. It's ridiculous. I'll talk more about that in a second. But anyway, I wanted to record before we went, and then I'll give you guys an update tomorrow. So on Twitter, speaking of houses, on Twitter, I did have a response. Dean Barney in the UK said that, now I'm looking for it. He said, on house hunting, I would recommend ignoring things like cabinets and whether there's a tub or not. These are cosmetic / style things that you can change. It's like refusing to eat a delicious Whataburger. He said water burger, water, like a glass of water, but it's not water burger. Because you don't like the color of the napkins. Well, and I understand that, Dean. And like I said, I mean, we're going to look at houses where we don't like the cabinet color. But look, this is a major investment. We're spending a lot of money. We have 20% down saved up in our little savings accounts. And, you know, so that we can get a good interest rate and so that we can do the responsible. I mean, not that my last house that I bought, we put zero down. It was horrible. It was right before the housing bubble burst here in the U.S., and we had a horrible time selling it. We ended up losing some money on it, and I wanted, and plus we had to pay PMI, which is personal mortgage insurance, and I don't want to have to do that. Like, I want us to pay 20% down, have that equity in the home to begin with. Well, the thing is, if I'm paying that much, if I'm buying this expensive home, and, you know, especially if it's at the top of our budget, If a house is at the top of our budget, it doesn't matter whether it's a cosmetic thing. If it's at the top of our budget, that means that's the most we could possibly pay out of pocket, which means we're going to move in. And if I really hate the color of the cabinets, it might be a few years before we save up the money to repaint the cabinets, replace the cabinets, whatever. And I know cabinets seem like a small thing. Now, if it's a home that's below our budget, and we have extra money left over in our savings, and we can pay to have the cabinets repainted or refaced or whatever the case may be, or, you know, to put a tub in or what, you know, whatever we want to do, and it's in a great location and we love every single other thing about it, yeah, fine. You know, that's going to be great. But, you know, it depends. If it's at or above our budget, then I'm going to want it to be as close to perfect as possible. If it's way below our budget, then yeah, we could put some money into it if needed. So it really depends on the house that we're looking at. And a lot of these homes are getting close to the top of our budget. And so I'm being really nitpicky about, like, you know, what I want in there. But yes, I do realize sometimes you don't get the cosmetic stuff that you want. And I do understand that. All right, I got an email from Sam in the hinterlands, and she basically says, well, she says a lot of stuff, but what I wanted to point out, a few things I wanted to point out is one that she wrote on Twitter that they had some kind of, I don't even remember what it was, but some junk food for dinner last night, and she says, no food shame from me. You know that, and now I'm extra glad I posted what I really fed the family last night. Pineapple, lettuce, and carrots all count. Well, thank you for that, Sam. And she talks about Ellen and says, do you think that Ellen wants to have a more home-brewed, handmade look for her videos? And this is when I was talking about, you know, Ellen's videos looking very unprofessional that she's doing from home. I don't know, Sam, maybe, but the thing about that is, I saw James Corden. Now, James Corden was off for like 3 weeks, the Late Late Show. Mark and I love James Corden. I don't want to speak for Mark, but I think James Corden is really funny. And I really enjoy his show, probably the best of all the late night TV shows. And he was off for at least 2 weeks, but it seems like it's been like 3 weeks to a month, probably. And I'm probably wrong, but something like that. And anyway, so when he came back on Monday or Tuesday of this week, he had set up a studio in his garage. Now, I don't know if he had previously done this already and it was already ready to go, but I assume he spent some time like really, and I don't know if he paid someone to do it. I don't know, but he had professional lighting, or at least it seemed like he did, because his lighting was great, his audio was great, and he said it was in his garage. Now, maybe he was lying, I don't know, but he had, if it was in his garage, he had literally like put up soundproofing. And because you couldn't tell, it sounded like he was on some sort of soundstage. The set decoration was really great. It was only a desk, you know, with some shelves behind it and stuff like that. But it looked like an actual set. It didn't look like somebody's home. He had actually designed it like a set. It was really cool. And even his bits, it still wasn't great. I really like these shows, these late night or like talk shows like Ellen or the Jimmy Kimmels or the whatever. I feel like they need a live audience to be laughing when they're telling jokes. But he even went so far as to make a bit out of the fact that he didn't have an audience, and it makes it weird for monologues if you don't have an audience. And so he had his entire staff on a Zoom call, and I don't know, there were probably like 30 Zoom windows, and he made a whole bit out of it where he would say a monologue joke, and he would say, so I have my staff here so they can laugh and provide kind of like the laugh track for this monologue so it's not weird for everyone, right? And so the bit was, he would tell a joke and it would be dead silence. Nobody would laugh. And then one of his staff members would say, he would be like, guys, are you here? Are you still on the call? Are you there? Or maybe we're having internet problems, guys. And then one of his staff would say, no, James, we're here. And you know, the joke was okay, but maybe you should have delivered it like this. And then his staff member would tell the joke again, just changing something. And then everybody on the Zoom call died laughing. And you know, it wasn't as good as a live show like you would normally see with an actual audience where there's audience interaction and stuff. But it made it a lot. He was making a joke out of it, and it seemed like he had really written a bit, or he and his writers had really sat down, come up with a bit, etc. Ellen's just seemed like she's sitting there talking to the freaking camera, you know, hardly any writing at all, and no lighting, no sound. I mean, again, maybe, like Sam said, maybe that is what she's going for, but I thought James gets much more credit for the amount of work he put in to trying, and it was better. I mean, it's obviously not as good as normal, because I think these late night hosts that are used to like a live audience and a particular format, they will have to learn what works when there's not an audience. YouTubers have had years and years and years to figure out what kind of bits work on a YouTube video, you know? So anyway, that's my thoughts on that. And she talks about Farside and says the guy is Gary Larson. And she says, I know that probably a zillion people have already told you this. No, Sam, you're the only one that interacts with me on a regular basis from this show. She says it's Gary Larson who does the comics, the Farside comics. And thank you for giving me that information, Sam. I could not, for the life of me, I could have Googled it, but I was literally in the middle of recording. So I didn't want to stop and Google it. And then she says, glad the house hunt continues, but I don't think the realtor was offering to paint the cabinets or have the current owner paint them. I think she was suggesting you start considering those houses anyway with the plan of painting the cabinets after you buy it, at your expense, of course. Well, yeah, I mean, I know that's what she meant, but I was hoping what she meant was they would help arrange a contractor. Because she's a realtor, I'm sure she has contractors and she has like other people that she has worked with in the past, or at least is aware of, that could go in and do the work before we moved in. I realize we would be paying for it, but I just don't want the headache of having to find a contractor. You know, it's funny, my stepfather runs a handyman business, but they are so expensive for everything they do, and he doesn't give me good discounts. Mark and I have used them before, but the discount he gives me is crap. I mean, really crap. And I don't know. I mean, they do good work and everything, but I feel like we can find it cheaper. I don't know. All right, well, I'll end it here. For more episodes, you can go to geekygay.com. You can email me, adamburns.uk@gmail.com. You can call 479-221-9393. And you can find many more LGBT and LGBTQ plus friendly podcasts at pride48.com. I'll talk to you guys tomorrow, maybe with a house. Who knows? Bye, everyone.
This show is part of the Pride 48 Network. Find all the best shows under the rainbow at pride48.com.